Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
With us in the studio today, we have Professor David Robbie, Director of Pacific Media Centre, and a postgraduate student journalist from the PMC Asia Pacific Report, Rahul Batarai. David, a lot of things have been happening in the Asia Pacific region over the past few days. Let's start with the Timor-Leste elections on Saturday. Things have been fairly fractious with a political deadlock for months. Has this deadlock been broken by the elections?
Yes, well, fairly decisively, and this is what people were really hoping for, because over the past year, the government that was actually in place, which is the Fretilin Party, which is the pro-independence group that fought for independence against Indonesia for 24 years or so, they had a minority government. And they couldn't get their program through. They couldn't get their budget through or any of their major things that they were trying to do. So they were blocked with the budget twice. And so this is the second election that's been held in less than a year. So people were pretty fed up with it and hoping that there will be a decisive result. And yes, they have. The opposition AMP, which is a grouping of three main parties, including a youth party, have come out top. And they got pretty well almost the final results was 49, about, you know, almost the full electoral returns have come in. So the AMP had 49%, and which translates to 34 seats in the 65-seat parliament. Fretilin is still the largest single party. They got 34%, which is pretty well much the same as what they got in the last election, but they've only got 23 seats this time, so they're out of government. And it was actually really much about a style of what to do for the future, because Timor-Leste has only got its oil reserves and the Timor Gap. And once that oil and gas runs out, there's virtually no income for the country of just over a million people. And so AMP are rather focused on major development projects, whereas perhaps the Fretilin were more concerned with rural development. So it was really interesting result.
So do you think that majority is enough to mean that we'll have significant progress?
Well, certainly AMP have now got a free hand, more or less, to follow through their policies. The question now is whether it's the right sort of policies for the future of the country, so the debate will go on.
And the future is fairly uncertain for Bougainville, with the independence vote looming sometime next year. But two important court cases are coming up this week about the future of mining. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, well, that's basically around the future of Panguna Mine. You'll recall that there was a 10-year civil war fought in Bougainville over Panguna Mine, over environmental issues, and also because of the landowners not getting a fair deal from the mining company, which is BCL, then at that time owned by Rio Tinto. This is really the crux of the independence vote for next year. What happens to Panguna, and will there be mining? Because so many, 20,000 lives were lost as a result of that war, and so the country is split in a way. Well, the territory rather is split. I mean, many people in Bougainville want to be an independent country, of course, but they're not at the moment. They're an autonomous region. So for these two court cases, they're very critical. And in a sense, they're happening on the same day, Thursday, this coming Thursday, but in two different places, Port Moresby and Melbourne. And the Port Moresby one is about essentially about whether the about what the autonomous region government has actually been able to. They've got a moratorium at the moment, and so BCL challenging that. And then the one in Melbourne is really about there's a company that's backed by Philip Mariori, who represents many of the landowners, and they're pushing this other company, basically saying that BCL did their thing. And really, the Bougainville suffered enormously as a result, and even the civil war was a result of BCL's very bad policies. So they want a bar of PCL again. But the other company that they've been promoting is based in Australia and Philippines and so on. So BCL are challenging them about their credibility and about whether they should have any stake at all. So people will be watching very closely what the result of these two court cases this week.
And Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister has warned foreigners shouldn't treat the prospects of an independent Bougainville as a plaything that New Zealand and Australia have become obsessed with. What do you think, you know, what does this mean, and should New Zealand and Australia play a role in it?
Well, New Zealand played a key role, you know, in bringing in the peace with the Burnham Agreement and so on. And it should be prepared to play a very positive role in the future. Personally, as a journalist who has written about these issues for a very long time, in fact, I covered the Bougainville War right on the first two years, 1989-90 and so on. I strongly believe myself that Bougainville should be independent and did have the basis of it, and it was the strongest in a north, it was called the North Solomon's Province in those days, and it was the strongest economy within Papua New Guinea itself. And there's a very strong case for it being independent, and New Zealand should really support whatever the result of the referendum is next year.
So media freedom has been a big topic over the last couple of weeks, and the second Pacific Media Summit has just concluded in Tonga. What was the result of this, and are we going to see any changes?
Well, I think there's a lot of talk without very great deal of results at all. Ironically, it's, you know, this Pacific Media Summit was in Tonga, where the current Tongan government under Prime Minister Akalisa Puheva is strongly been criticised for its rather repressive approach to the media, trying to shut down the media anytime there's any serious questions, getting rid of staff on the Tonga Broadcasting Commission, which is the state broadcast, and so on. And so complaint after complaint in terms of media freedom issues. But I guess that probably the thing that we probably focused on most was actually something a bit lighthearted from the conference, because a jealousy sort of spat developed between Samoa and Tonga, and it was largely Akalisa Puheva, the Prime Minister of Tonga, was very peeved off that that Samoa was better placed in the RSF World Press Freedom Index, so basically Tonga's about 51st, and it sort of dropped down a couple of places, and Samoa went up one place to 22nd, so as well, you know, well above Tonga. But basically the Prime Minister of Samoa, Tuilapa, he had this comment about Puheva's a bit jello about what's, you know, our media better media freedom stakes and so on. So people sort of took that as a bit of a joke, really. But we'll be certainly watching the space. I mean, I think there was a big concern about the future of media freedom in Tonga.
And why have Tonga dropped a few places? Is there a big disparity between Tonga and Samoa in terms of media freedom?
Well, you know, these things are always open to argument. Is Samoa really that a good example of media freedom compared with Tonga, and it's of course much higher than Papua New Guinea, and certainly a lot higher than Fiji. But others would argue that both Papua New Guinea and Fiji have much stronger media. Personally, I think that there's much closer similarity between Tonga and Samoa. But what Samoa has got is this enormously strong independent newspaper in the Samoa Observer, which is one of the best papers in the Pacific, and that alone carries the cudgels of media freedom in Samoa.
Thank you, David. And we'll move on to you now, Raul. You were reporting on the pro-Palestine Nakba demonstration down at Auckland Silo Park yesterday as part of the Asia-Pacific coverage. The protesters were demonstrating against 70 years of occupation by Israel. And today is Israel Day. Can you tell us about your experience? What was the turnout like?
We're expecting more people than what turned up yesterday, but it was definitely good. Protesters were loud, and they definitely had their voices go across the other side of the fence. And they did not break any law. They were loud enough, and they were very. It was a very peaceful protest.
And what were some of their concerns?
Oh, I think they were not happy with the Israelis celebrating 70 years of their birthday, because on the other side, there are a lot of Palestinians. They are being kicked out from their homes and evicted. I actually spoke to one of the Palestinian guys whose father was evicted under a gunpoint when he was 12 years old. So those are the types of people who came in there to support, to show their support to the Palestinians.
Yeah, and you're a new postgraduate student journalist after graduating from Auckland University. I understand this was your first published assignment in Asia Pacific report. How do you feel about it?
Oh God, it was amazing. But just to correct you, I'm from Massey University, not Auckland.
Sorry about that.
No, that's absolutely fine. When I had my article published, it was an amazing experience. I did work quite a lot with David here, and he helped me. He guided me through all the way, including baby steps. So yeah, and being in the middle of the protest yesterday was, it was an amazing experience. It was a great experience. I was right there in the front line where the police were stopping the protesters, and they're also other side, the Zionists were having their own celebration going on while there was a protest on the other side.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your assignment?
I did not necessarily take one point of view. However, I did lean towards Palestinian because I could interview a lot of people on that side. And they were very upset about how there are not many people who are supporting them here in New Zealand, and they came here to get the support of New Zealand government.
Excellent. Thanks for coming in. I really, really appreciate it, David and Raul. Southern Cross is taking a little break from us now until the start of the second semester in mid-July. However, you can still keep up with the Asia Pacific news and analysis at Pacific Media Centre, www.pmc.aut.ac.nz, or at asiapacificreport.nz. Thank you very much.
That was the Southern Cross.